I'm just going to share this one little scripture here, and this is from James chapter 1, verse 27. And there's two versions here. One was from the NIV, and it reads, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And another version, this is from the Message. "Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world." This morning, I want to share with you about a young lady, well, she's getting a little bit older now, that for the last 15 years, she's put that scripture into action. Her name is Helen Kosman. Wendy and I have spent the last week in Romania helping and supporting Helen, who lives there all the time in her day-to-day work. And I want to tell you about Helen. The reason I want to tell you about it, because I think it's good to hear about Christians who in their very simple way are such an example and encouragement to us all. In my mind, she's a Christian hero. And hopefully, through the things I'm going to talk about and share today, and why she's there and what she's done, and how the little things she's done make such a difference, and how that is a reminder to us, the little things we do in Jesus' name make such a difference. This is Helen and Costell. They got married in 2002. And Costell is a local, he's a Romanian, and they've been living there for some time. But this is the story about them. After finishing her degree, Helen was working as a volunteer in a charity shop in Burntwood. It was called Hand in Hand Romania. She became very interested in the charity's work and decided that she would visit Romania to see some of the projects. So in April 1997, Helen visited Dursker. And Romania is a big country, and this is right on the border with the Ukraine. And I'll give you an idea how big the country is. We originally used to go into a place called Bucharest, the main centre, and it took us 9 hours in a minibus to get to the top of Romania. That's how big it is. And she went to Dursker to an orphanage and saw the children that this other charity had been helping. She met them for the first time. And when she met them, she found not only were they malnourished, mistreated, and unloved, some had HIV. They were HIV positive. And Helen felt very strongly that she should do more to help them. The children that were HIV positive and are had been infected by the state, who had this brilliant idea that because they were in such poor health that they would give them a blood transfusion to help them to boost their health instead of actually giving a piece of meat or something sensible. But quite a lot of this blood was infected with AIDS. So they now have a whole section of children that had AIDS. She was so concerned by what she saw that she decided to visit the orphanage in future summers during her holidays from a job. She found that the orphanage was receiving clothes and toys and school materials from English charity that she'd volunteered for. What the charity didn't know, and didn't really believe, to be honest, that even though that the country had changed from the communist rule, the old attitudes in some of the people and the staff in the orphanage hadn't changed much. So the toys disappeared. They were taken home by the staff for their children, because they weren't very well off either. The nice clothes that the orphans had were locked away, And they were brought out on the special days when the lady came from England. For the rest of the time, they were just locked away and they had their old clothes. All the other clothes just disappeared. They went home as well. Helen realized that while she was with the children on a daily basis, their life was better. She brought food, bananas, apples and things like that, which they never got. They weren't beaten. They were left alone while she was with them. This is a picture, actually, of the orphanage. This is Helen explaining why she decided to help. "Having met the children, I simply couldn't forget them," she said. "They weren't important to anyone except God. And I felt really God was spurring me to do something to help them. I thought of the ways of helping them from England, but to me that was like doing half a job. It was all or nothing, and I knew God expected my all." So eventually Helen moved to Romania on a full-time basis in October 1999. This is what she said. "I wanted to be a reliable friend to the children and was willing to help with whatever was needed. Life was not easy. There was a widespread distrust of foreign people, so I had to work hard to earn people's trust and convince them that my only aim was to help the children." She did not let this deter her from what was to become her life, caring for the children that nobody else seemed to be caring about. Until that time, she funded her own trips to Romania, but from that point on, she became dependent on the support of the church she used to go to in Burntwood, St. John's Community Church, as well as friends and family. The charity that we help with, Light for Children, was set up to raise money and to provide help to support Helen's work. The children were desperately short of food, medication, clothing, footwear, education materials. Helen lived with a family in the village of Durska and walked the 3 miles each day to visit the children in the orphanage. She spent her days doing lots of activities with the children, offering them friendship and protection, and of course the love which they so desperately needed. The county authorities decided to shut down the orphanage, and they moved the children into an apartment system. And the apartments have 6 or 8 children in them, and they're cared for by a rota of carers. And in a way, that's quite constructive. They're fed, they're under a roof, and they're actually warm. Over a period of time, these children were moved. The last 18, it was quite some time before they were moved. And Helen promised that she would help these 18 children through the system. I just want to change a bit. This is Helen's mum and dad. And the Burntwood charity, Hand in Hand, organised a visit of children from the orphanage to England. And they brought a group of children, they were aged between 6 and 9, for a holiday. 2 of the girls were hosted by Helen's parents, Barry and Hilary. Barry and Hilary applied to adopt Luminita. This is Luminita, a little girl who had stayed with them during the charity visit in England in 1996. Luminita's special needs would have resulted in her spending the rest of her life in Romania in an institution. That was their answer for children like that. Finally, after 4 years of adoption process, Helen's parents travelled to Romania to bring Luminita home in November 2000. Luminita now is 24 years old and very much a part of her family in England, where she has made an unbelievable progress. It's unrecognisable. And she's so confident and at home now, she can't really remember speaking Romanian. It's unreal, it's uncanny. And she went back, but she struggled with the language because that was her past life. And she feels so loved and cared for. It's very different now. In all of this, there is a huge sadness. Most of the children in the state apartment, they're not orphans. In the past, if parents said to the authorities they couldn't cope with their children, or they couldn't feed them, or they had nowhere to live, or the authorities decided they felt they weren't good parents, they just put them in care. And that's why there were so many children in the care system. It has changed now. It's changed amazingly. And it is very difficult to put children into care. It's not like the old days. And the authorities work very hard. But the reality is there's still large numbers of children in the system. And I think it came quite a shock to us, and I'll show you a photograph later on. We took some youngsters from the age, sort of junior school age, swimming. And it hit us that there's still as many children going into the system as there ever was. In Dorohoy, which has got a population of about 30,000, which I think is the size of Rugeley or Burntwood, somewhere like that, there are 130 children in the system. And only 10 of those children are visited by parents. I just can't get my head around it, if I'm absolutely honest. And the gap between those who have money and those who don't is becoming quite extreme. There really is a huge gap. So because of the lack of work and money in Dorohoy, many families go to other countries to work. A lot go to Italy. And in Dorohoy, the main place where we stayed and where Helen works, there are over 1,000 children who are looked after by grandparents and family members while the parents are somewhere else working. Some of them send back money, some of them don't. This is just a staggering amount of children that are left in such a small place. Amazing. While we were in Romania, we ran some activities for some of the children and young people in the state system. We had a group of 38 young people one evening showing them how to play rounders. That sounds straightforward. It was, however, quite interesting when you think about it, because only Helen and Costel speak Romanian. So they were explaining the rules, and we just do, as good British people, lots of hand gestures and pointing, and we got quite good at that. Another activity was led by Maggie, and she was doing some aerobics with some of the girls from the apartment system. Had a great morning, a lot of fun. The reason for us running these type of activities is that the children and young people are housed in the state system and given regular meals. But there isn't a lot of money to do things that are fun and have a good time. So through the charity Life for Children, we help to raise funds for Helen to support these young people and children in the state system and the poor families she works with. This ranges from the clothes and toiletries, which we have to say are unbelievably grateful for all of the toiletries and clothes that have been given to us and we've sent out. Helen pays for prescriptions, visits to the dentists and doctors. And in a lot of cases, Helen will go to the doctors with the children as the carers just send them out without any support. So she's like a mum to them. The same morning, while they were doing their aerobics, we had the ladies showing them how to make loom bands. I'm an expert loom band maker now. And masses of loom bands were made that morning. They all had a lot of fun. After all that,
All the ingredients were laid out for the girls to make their own pizzas on chunks of bread. And they finished the morning off eating them. And that obviously went down extremely well. With me as well as anybody else. Another activity which Wendy organised was to run a session for mums and their small children, showing the parents how to play with their children. That sounds a bit obvious, but actually it's not quite in their culture. So they're using everyday things like cereals, pasta, and homemade Play-Doh, so the parents could see that they could don't have to spend lots of money on expensive toys to have fun with their children. Wendy ended the session here with a singing time with both parents and children, and they were all able to join in together. And I have to say, we were all very impressed. Wendy amazingly made up a song in Romanian that they all joined in with. I thought that was pretty impressive, really. This is another activity, and we took, these are the younger, junior type age, that we took them swimming. This is the swimming pool. Needless to say, there aren't photographs of lots of children in the swimming pool because that didn't seem a wise thing to be doing. But they had a lot of fun. There were six adults, six of us, and one older lad from the apartments, and we were all in the pool with 18 junior age children. However, we'd learnt our lesson after taking some children in the past swimming. And what we did is we took them in the training pool first, because they were all absolutely unbelievably excited. The one flaw in the whole plan is none of them been in a swimming pool before. And so our previous experience is they all jumped in and started drowning, which wasn't a good experience. So we did learn from that. And the only two children that could actually had been in the swimming pool before were the directors of the apartment, son and daughter. The rest, we actually took them in stages and took them in to get them used to the water and get some confidence. After an hour or so, we were absolutely cream-crackered and shattered. I just wanted to share a couple of stories about some of the young people. This is a group of girls called the Lazuka Girls. This is a picture from some years ago. You can tell this, if you look here, if I press the right button, this is me. I've actually got grey, and not grey hair, I've got brown hair. So you can tell it was a while ago. Anyway, we took all the girls to quite a nice restaurant in their neighbouring town, Botoshan, for a meal. Sounds straightforward, but this would be totally beyond these girls' experience. They were all HIV positive. They weren't allowed to go to places like this. We didn't tell anybody. These girls are a group of the girls that have been affected by these bad blood transfusions some years ago. No fault of their own, just being in the orphanage. This is a picture of the same time, taken in 2005. And the only prospect for these girls at that time in 2005 was to be institutionalized for the rest of their lives. But things have changed in a positive way over the last 9 years. These are two of the girls here. The one on the left is Daniela, and on the right is Anna. Daniela is now married to Daniel. That's kind of confusing, isn't it, really? And they have a little boy. This is a note from Helen. I kept in touch with Daniel throughout the day on Friday, waiting for news on the baby, only to hear late in the afternoon that the baby boy had arrived safely and naturally, which actually for HIV children wasn't obvious. When I answered the phone to Daniel, he said, "Mrs. Helen, I'm delighted to tell you that you've got a healthy grandson." On Friday, I was told my grandson would be called Sebastian. But I've heard today, which is Sunday, that his name is now called Ion, which means John. They'd changed their mind in the 3 days. But this was the type of respect those young people had for Helen. and the help that she offered. Amazingly, the baby isn't HIV positive. That's hard to get your head round, isn't it? This is a picture of the Lazuka girls. These are all HIV positive girls. About 5 years ago, Anana, this girl here, is second from right. And at this stage, she'd stopped taking her medication for her sickness, her HIV. And along with Helen, we tried to persuade her, you really need to. They sort of get to a stage that they think, well, I'm okay, I don't need to take it. But they must take it. And thank God, after a few weeks, she decided to start taking it again. So she was making progress. This is Anna when we visited a couple of years ago. At this stage, Anna had left the Stafe orphanage and was living with another young lass, and they were doing very well together. And she's looking good. She was making good progress. This is our Anna and her friend Andre. Again, these are both girls with HIV positive. And of course, Helen sitting on the end. We visited them a week past Saturday. Andre is now settled and she's got a new partner. She started off with quite an abusive marriage, which wasn't good in any shape or form. But now she's got a new partner and they've got a little girl and a little boy. Again, both the children are not HIV positive, thank God. While we were there, we had another session of loom band making. Because it's kind of easier than trying to ask lots of questions in Romanian that we weren't. And Helen gets a bit sort of, and when she's doing translations all the time, it gets a bit much. This is the real picture though. The real reason we were there to support Anna and Andrea is because they both got TB. We don't even think about TB now, do we? The nurses told us we had to wear the masks, so we put the masks on because we don't want to upset them. Having TB for these girls is very difficult because their immune system is pretty shot being HIV positive. Wendy and I were able to go back and see Anna and Andre a second time. And we spent some time praying for them and praying God's healing upon them and blessing. I would ask you to pray for them over the coming weeks. It takes quite 6 months as the length of time for their medication to bring them through. This is Spider-Man. To his friends, he's known as Vasily. The mask was made by, guess who? Helen. As the many things she does. The picture was taken some years ago as we were running a session with the young people who were doing bit different party pieces to put on a little show for each of the other. This is him growing up, still with his Spider-Man outfit because he loved playing in that outfit, and he just adored being Spider-Man. This is Spider-Man, otherwise known as Vasily, a couple of years ago. He's 21 now, or 21 then, in this picture. And he's still studying at school. And an improvement to the system there is that if they're still in the school system, the state will actually keep them in care. So he's still actually in care at that particular time, which is a massive difference. Previously, what used to happen is when the young people reached a certain age, they were asked to leave the state apartments without any help at all. A lot of them just used to sleep rough on the local sports field and beg for food. None of these young people would have had a chance to do any further studies in the past. But things, thank God, have changed. Two of the young men that Helen's looked after and the charity supported have completed degrees. You would have never expected that from these young people. They've gone on and they've done their masters and they finished this year. That's amazing. That's a bit different from sleeping on the field and begging, isn't it? This is Vasily, last year actually, and this is the lady that's with him, is his supporter. Her name's Jill. And she's been sending presents and cards for birthdays and Christmas for many years. Vasily calls Jill his English mum, even though he'd never met her. They were thrilled to meet each other last year. The simple things make such a difference. Vasily and a young man called Alan finished their schooling this year. Therefore, it's their time to leave the state apartments. They're now 24. These are the last two of the original 18 that Helen looked after and promised to care for. But it doesn't finish for Helen. As with all the other young people, she's making sure that they have somewhere to live as they start their new independent life together. It's not the Ritz, but actually it's somewhere for them, and there's a couple of rooms in there, and the charity will fund a couple of rooms while they get started in life. Helen will manage their money and help them to look after themselves with their washing, preparing food and all that, which they've never done before because they've been looked after. The building has a couple of rooms, and Helen and Costell had started to prepare for Vasily and Alan to live in. This is Costell painting one of the rooms. They painted one of the rooms already, and in the room the heating is by it's like a ceramic tiled stove, so it's this big stove thing in the room, and you just put wood on. But it needed repairing because previously, when it was put fire on, it just caused smoke, so the room was actually black. So it's taken them that many times to paint it to bring it back to a colour, white and blue, but it looks really nice now. We spent some time painting all the woodwork, and this is Costell painting in the kitchen. This is how things have changed. The government now gives these children, as they leave the apartment system, a gift of money. So they've got some money to help themselves up. And there's like a county charity that will also give each child or group of children a cooker, a fridge and a washing machine. So they've got something to start. Costell works just down the road. He works at a British-run charity there, and the boys will be able to go down and have showers and go down and ask for his support at any time. So they've got something to look forward to. This is Vasily, and he's sharing some of the painting. He actually wants to be involved, rightly so. Alan is working long hours at a local restaurant where he's doing really well, actually. Alan is only paid part-time, but he wants to impress the owner so much that he works as many hours as he can. Sometimes the owner, who is a Christian, that's why he's taken him on, has to encourage to go, stop working and go home, because it's time to go home. But he's such a darling, he is. This is the two of them. This is Alan and Vasily in the finished rooms with curtains and some nets, and they're both thrilled to pieces. They've known each other right from that original orphanage days. They're about to start a new life together in this away from the state system, looking after themselves. And that's just a big thing for any young person. This is the team. Wendy's taken the picture. On the bottom right here, this is Maggie. Trish is at the back. We've got Helen there, Costell, and Vasily's there, and Alan. And on that day when they come and had a look round, Vasily had gone to sign up to get some benefits for not having a job. I got a text from Helen yesterday to say Vasily had gone out and asked at the local car wash whether he could have a job. And they agreed, which is absolutely stunning news, to be perfectly honest, because getting a job in Dorohoy is like not easy at all. He's moving in to the rooms tomorrow, and Alan will move in about a week or so's time. This is a new start for them, but Helen and Costell will be with them all through that process. I just want to finish off with one last little story, because it's kind of fun. This is George. George is another one of Helen's young men that's grown up. You can see he's quite creative. These are the paintings that he's actually painted in the background. And at one point we thought it might be a way of actually raising some money for him by selling them. We used his talents in other ways. We were trying to, some years ago, get a cot for a family who didn't have anything for their baby. So George here's using his skills and painted some motifs on the cot for them. Aurelia, the young lady there, is now working with her cousin in a Chinese restaurant in Austria. They move away to get work. She popped back in to see us on last Sunday before she travels back to Austria. She was just there on holiday. This is George last year with his supporters. These are his, like, his English mum and dad, Mike and Yvonne, who he really appreciates all the things that they've done for him. Last slide. What is this about? This is George showing a newspaper article telling of him winning Romanian's Strictly Come Dancing. No, that was the other one. He went in for that and he won this one. And he got 60,000 euros. That's a difference for him, isn't it? One of Helen's boys. Vasily's comment at the time was, "My treasure is in heaven." I think he felt a bit sort of out of sorts that he'd got 60,000 and he wasn't getting any. But the truth is, what a change Helen has made for these and many others' lives. The little things make such a difference. And we need to take encouragement. The little things we do in the name of Jesus make a difference. And the picture I had of that as well, I was thinking about it, it's like when we start digging with a spade and we're doing a little bit of work, unbeknown to behind us is God in a JCB. And we've got to remember that. Whatever we do, God's doing far more. Just to finish off, just to say, do pray for Helen and Costell and their work. Do pray for Anna and Andrea, that they'll be healed of TB. That's a big thing. Pray for Vasily, that he sticks at his job. He's got one, but he needs to keep it. And that Vasily and Alan begin to look after themselves. It's a big thing for any young person. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that we are able to just see a few pictures of the work that one young lady has done and the difference she has made in so many young people and families' lives. Lord, we pray your blessing upon her and on her husband Costell. Pray that you would continue to strengthen and encourage her, whatever the future holds for her. And we pray for these young people, Lord. And Father, we pray that we might be encouraged in heart and mind and soul, that the little things we do in your name make such a difference. Amen.